Love is humble. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. We continue our revival of love this morning as we reflect on Jesus' commandment to love and how that is the one commandment that he gave that marks us as his disciples. That's how he said anybody could tell whether or not they or someone else was truly a disciple of Jesus Christ, was that if they loved one another as he loves. And so that's our life's really story, our life's purpose as the followers of Christ is to learn how he loves and do that way ourselves, to love as he loves. And so to look at all of the law, all of the prophets, all of the traditions of the church, everything that we do through that lens of agape, of loving as Christ has loved and continues to love us. And so one part of that is this part here, the humbleness, that it is, if it's arrogant and prideful, then it isn't love. If it's boastful, it isn't love. If it isn't love, then it isn't Christ. The Bible teaches us about love. It teaches us that God is love. It teaches us to love as God loves. So let's sing that verse that we have from Revive Us Again.
Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be
some people that would like to hold a parade and blow trumpets and everything whenever that they would give money to a cause, then they would call everybody's attention to that, and everybody would celebrate and be so glad that they did that. And he said, when they do that, that's their reward. That's it. That's the reward. So he said, when you do that, when you give, or when you pray, or when you fast, and all these things, don't do it for a show. I mean, people might find out, or it's all right for people to know, but he said, don't be doing it for that purpose. Don't be trying to make a show out of it and call a lot of attention, because that will be the results. That's all you can really count on. But when you pray, when you fast, when you give, do it sincerely and quietly, and go, even when you talk about prayer, you said go into and lock your door, and there pray to your Father who is in secret, and he who sees you in secret will reward you openly. And so, that kind of an attitude of boastfulness and pompousness to what we do, is that's not humble, is it? That's not love. That is the opposite. And so Christ invites us to trade that in, so to speak, to change our ways and be reverent and humble in all that we do. And there's an old proverb in the book of Proverbs that said, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And one of the things that we need to be watch out for on that is spiritual pride. And that's always been a problem amongst people of every religion for all of time. And it still is. Because Jesus talked about he used that word hypocrisy a lot of times, and hypocrites, to talk about people that were just trying to show off their religiosity, that they were more spiritual than everybody else, and they would, you know, people would get into a competition to see who could look more spiritual and act more spiritual, and that still goes on today, doesn't it? People, a lot of times people doing things just for to make it look like they're more religious than other people, and we could probably, you know, there could probably be a book just on that, couldn't there, about all the things that people have done in history, and even things that are passed down to us as traditions of the church that came out of people's spiritual pride of just, not wanting to let somebody else upstage them in how religious and spiritual they seemed. And so so it's that insincerity and not really, living out of where we are spiritually, but trying to look like more or something else that we're not. And Jesus told one little parable about that, about how that sometimes people will go around trying to take a log out of somebody else's eye, a little tiny speck out of somebody else's eye, when there's a log in their own eye. And we need to look at ourselves. Because the result of that pride like that is really excommunication, excluding other people from the sacraments and the grace and the life of the church, whose beliefs and practices are different from ours. And that's been going on in real formal ways for a long time, but it's also going on in informal ways. And when we do that to each other, when we exclude each other and push each other away from the blessings of the church and from the grace that God has for us and from that grace that is so needed for the conversion experience to continue and for our sanctification to continue. We need each other. We need the church. Everybody does. And we don't need to let our pride get in the way of somebody else coming to the Lord and being able to worship Him and being able to serve Him and be a part of His body. And so, it is about our humbleness. Not humiliation, but a true sense of humbleness. Not a false humility that becomes itself a pretense to spirituality, but a true, honest-to-goodness sense of humbleness before God and in our relationships with each other. Jesus told this one parable about two men that went up to the temple to pray. And he said that they went up there, and the one man stood up, and he got up in front of everybody, and he was just really putting on the dog about how religious he was, and thanking God that he was so smart and knew all this about his faith, and that he was so good and practiced all the tenets of his faith all his life and never made any mistakes and was wonderful. He just carried on like that's a parable, so he could just carry it on as much as he wanted. You can imagine Jesus probably every time he told it, added a little more to it. Just told about this guy, how wonderful that he thought he was, and made a great great presentation there. Well, then the other guy went up there. He stood off in the corner where nobody could see or hear him, and he just turned his heart to God, and he cried, and he was so upset, and he was praying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And he was recognizing his shortcomings and his failures and facing himself honestly there in God's presence and just pouring his heart out to the Lord, not wanting to make a show of it or anything else, but just wanting to get right with God. And so Jesus said, now, which of these two, when they went home, which one went home justified? Which one went home right with God? Which one went home with his life changed? And so that's a pretty easy answer, isn't it? It's the one who was humble before God, who was humble in his heart before his fellow man and in his own eyes as well. And it wasn't a false humility. He wasn't putting himself down. He was facing himself honestly. the good, the bad, everything in between. He was facing himself honestly in the presence of the Almighty, and that's really what confession is. You know, it's not groveling at the feet of God or anything like that, or going around, you know, trying to be weird about it. You know, it's just facing ourselves honestly in God's presence. And that takes a humbleness, because if we're going to be haughty and boastful, you know, then we're going to be thinking that we don't need to do that, that there's nothing wrong. And Jesus told those Pharisees, said, "You're all a bunch of hypocrites, and because that you think that there's nothing wrong, that you haven't ever done anything wrong, then you can't get it right. You're not going to change because you don't think you're doing anything wrong in the first place." Micah, the prophet Micah, the famous verse that Micah 6:8, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." And James wrote that song, he didn't write it as a song, he just wrote it as a verse in his letter, but then it became kind of a song. "Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Higher and higher, and he will lift you up." So when we think about that humbleness personified best in the Bible and in history by Jesus himself. Think about, you know, at Christmas we celebrate the story of Jesus as how he was born into an impoverished family, laid in a manger there, grew up under oppression and all kinds of poverty and situation going on. And that's where he grew up in. And when he became a minister then, when he began his ministry, then he took on the role of a servant. And not just any servant, not just a servant to some, to a household or a few people or even a country, but servant of all, and taught that. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, this is what he used to say, then you need to learn to be the servant of all. And he gave his life in that role as the suffering servant. And he gave his life at Calvary. And he humbled himself in that way. He lived a life not of humiliation, not of false humility and humbleness, but of honest, straightforward goodness and humbleness before God and his fellow creatures. This week we celebrate the 4th of July because of the Declaration of Independence being published on that day, signed and everything. And the hallmark of democracy is enshrined one sentence of that declaration. "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Any of the divisions and the schisms in church and in society are caused by the haughtiness of making exceptions to this equality that is described in our own Declaration of Independence and in the Scriptures and in what God calls us to in presenting us as being equals, as the children of God, all who are created in His image, made in His likeness, and that Christ has given His life for. And the unity and peace that we see come from humbleness of love and respect for the equality and the dignity and great worth of all people. There's an old saying, and it's been written into a number of songs, "The ground is level at the foot of the cross." Christ went to the cross for each and every one of us, for all time, for all people. And if you or if I were the only one that needed it, Christ would have done it. But we all need it. And we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And Christ has provided the remedy for all. We would recognize that we're all made in the image of God and identify in others their Christ-like qualities. We be aware of the worst in ourselves as well and look up to the best in others and seek a forgiveness and reconciliation and peace with all people. And so for our invitation this morning, I'd like to read this from Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, of any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we're invited in all of this morning to be humble, to love as Christ has loved, to be humble as Christ is humble, to lay aside our own egotism and humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord and let Him lift us up, to be the servant of all, to wash the feet of those around us. In the name of Jesus, amen.